Welcome to the next podcast of Milliner Info. I'm your host, Lauren Ritchie. Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode. In this series, we welcome milliners from across the globe into your ears and studio. Today, we welcome Natalie Taylor of Nat Millinery. Nat is based in Cairns in tropical far north Queensland in Australia, and she was the first runner-up of the Lillian Frank AM MBA Millinery Award in 2023. I'd like to take a moment to thank our podcast sponsors for their support of this series. Haplocks Australia, Louise McDonald Milliner, House of Dawn, The Hat Magazine, Hatters Millinery Supplies, Lifted Millinery, The Unique Millinery, Judith M. Millinery Supply House, Hats Bay Leco, Hat Academy, and Millinery Australia. You can find a link to each of these businesses in the show notes. That's the text in your podcast app, or you can head over to our website. I hope you've been enjoying this podcast series. It's fantastic to bring you these conversations with our industry leaders. If you've heard me mention Patreon, this is your invitation to head across and find out a bit more. If you go to www.patreon.com/millinery info, you can find out how to sign up and show your support for this series. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Natalie. Thank you so much for joining me today, Natalie. It's wonderful to welcome you to the podcast. Let's talk about some hats, shall we?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. Clearly, I jumped ahead before I let you finish. yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this amazing podcast.
It's wonderful to have you. And let's just go back to the beginning. How did you first become involved in millinery?
It's funny because when I first started my millinery journey, I wasn't really interested in millinery at all. I actually, from the get-go, always wanted to do fashion design and be a fashion designer. I think like a lot of younger girls and younger creatives, I did my Cert 2 back in year 11 and 12 at the local TAFE here in Cairns, which I now work at. I've worked at for 10 years this year, 10 years. And then after finishing school, I knew I wanted to do a Cert 3 in fashion back at TAFE. And we did some short courses in millinery with the fabulous Amanda McCall, who I'm lucky to have in my circle and bounce ideas off, which is super, super lucky. So I did a couple of courses with her, but still it didn't grab me as much as what still dressmaking did. And we got to make a couple of dresses as one of the assessments to go to the races. But, of course, you need to have headwear. I didn't feel confident in making anything just yet, so I purchased a ready-made crinoline piece from, it used to be called Crazy Clark's, but I think it's now Reject Shop. I think it was $5. And looking back at it now, it's hideous. But I'm sure it was fashionable back then. And that was put there, and just going to the races and seeing everyone with these extravagant pieces and just how cohesive it was with the dress and the story it told, it kind of got me a bit more intrigued. And then having had Amanda do a couple of short courses during the Cert 3, it really sparked it a bit more for me. So then after the first race day with the assessment that we had to do, I made an outfit for my friend and I, and there was a local pop-up fascinator store from Millinery Online at the DFO we have here. And so I purchased a couple of things, and I basically got two placemats from Mum's house, which are those like seaweed kind of wrapped round ones, like the squiggly kind of features. Yeah, which it's funny because then that leads down into the path of then that collection that happened from when I started. And my friend's piece I made was basically a ready-made cinema pillbox, two red arrow-cut feathers, so already done, and then two barb quills, not curled or anything, literally. There's going to be a lot of milliners cursing me. Hot glue gun right in the centre, and just tacking, using a couple of stitches just to for good measure. So that was her headpiece, which was... Obviously, I look back now and go, oh, my God. But at the time, I thought, fabulous. This is chef's kiss amazing. And then my piece was two of the seaweed style placemats scrunched together, and I had another barbacoa left over in red, and I thought, you know what, let's just finish this off. It'll tie it off and stitch that one with a hair slide, and that was my headpiece. We went to the races that day, and it actually won best millinery. So my piece won best millinery. And at the time, I was like, "What is millinery?" I thought it was more called a fascinator, not millinery. But yes, so that one, and that really then sparked my interest from there to go, "Oh, seeing how
Everything.
amazing hat, yeah, how amazing hats can be." And so, I guess sculptural like and not you're not caged in with millinery as such as what you are with dressmaking. Like you are and you aren't. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. And from there, did you just dive in and start making, or what was next?
So then the next step was we then had another race day assessment as part of the Cert 3. And having then won the millinery, I was like, okay, I'm going to dive into it a bit more and get really creative. So the print that I had for the dress that I made was kind of like this scattered chopstick style look. So it was monochrome. I loved black and white back then, but it was also that time of neon was really in. So what I did was I made a headpiece that sat right on the side of the right or left hand side, doesn't matter which side you put it on. But it was basically chopped up pieces of doweling from Bunnings, and I had sprayed them in the black and the white, and then I had stacked them on top of each other in a very like styled mess, I'm going to call it a bird's nest, if you will.
Yes.
And yeah, I wore that and it passed the assessment, but I also had a lot of more interest for where did you get the hat from? Oh, that's amazing. You made it. Wow, do you make hats? And from there, it really was like, okay, I think I'm liking hat making a lot more now than dressmaking. Like it's, you can use different and unconventional materials to make something stand out and be different.
Amazing. Did you take any other millinery classes, or was it a matter of exploring what you had in front of you?
As the years have gone on, I definitely have. I've done some through Hat Academy, Hat Atelier. Also, again, very lucky to have a circle of very fantastic milliners here based in Cairns. So Gaylene, I've had Amanda, Bernice, Cindy, Kelly Louise. I've got them all really very lucky to have their expertise and get skills and ideas from them. So I did do another workshop with Amanda. I think it was back in 2014. And that more so unlocked my interest in parasizal and blocking on wooden blocks and opening that whole new world of, wow, you can actually block something over an object and make a base. This is insane. I was
That's a
very
lot of
amateur.
possibilities.
I probably sound so inexperienced, but I definitely was very inexperienced back then, but I had so much, I guess, not knowing the world of millinery, it was very exciting. So knowing that you could use different materials is, yeah.
What was the first block that you got?
The first block that I got was actually from a friend that made it, and he had made it just out of, I guess, like a pliable wood that you could push pins into, and it was a duck shape, ducktail shape. I couldn't afford blocks at the time, so he's like, "Oh, look, I'll make one." And he made a duck shape one, which I used to death. And especially then when I learned how to make percher bases from Rebecca's lessons, I used that one to death. I was lucky enough to then get another percher. I love percher bases, and one for Christmas one year. So that's been used to death, and then slowly over time, that collection of hat blocks. But also, my knowledge has grown in terms of what you can block. You can make your own blocks, and the sky's the limit. And you know what? If you want to use a fruit bowl as a base, go ahead.
Amazing what can be used and you open the possibilities up,
Oh,
anything
absolutely.
can be blocked, really.
Literally anything can be blocked. I think it's your creativity is the limit, is what holds you back.
Great. And after the certificate three finished, did you go on to do any other fashion studies?
No, so after that, that's about the highest that you can do or could do at the time here in Cairns. So then from there, I started a traineeship in business at TAFE because obviously I thought, you know what, I'm going to need money to go behind and get this started. But during that time, I was still really more so focusing on dressmaking, so making a lot of dresses, doing market stalls along the Cairns Esplanade. At that time, too, Cairns Central also worked with Grace Lilly and Lee to open up what they called the fashion incubator. So, where we could sell our designs in air conditioning, which is just a godsend, especially in summer. And so you were working there, you were selling your designs, you were talking to clients and customers. So that was really exciting. But still in the background, I was dabbling in millinery, but more so pre-purchasing bases and seeing how I could curl things. And looking back on photos actually last night, a lot of my designs in the early years, so from 2012 to 2014, was placemats. I used a hell of a lot of placemats. And that was a lot from scrunching them, beading them, molding them into different shapes, cutting out felt ones to create different dimensions and stuff. I used a hell of a lot of placemats. I think the local store where I got them from must have thought I had a lot of dinner parties or an obsession with placemats.
Very fancy dinner parties on your head.
Very fancy dinner parties.
The dresses that you were making and designing, were you making those with the race day in mind, or what
I was making
style were
them for
you
a bit of
creating?
both. I definitely had my favorite style in terms of dress, which I think is a very race wear appropriate. It was just a simple blouse, high neck top, cap sleeves, and a full circle skirt. They were basically the styles that I love to do. So yeah, I guess race wear appropriate. But I was really into those New York, London, though Milan, those types of prints with the words across and then the plain background. Yes, I was heavily into that fashion at the time.
It also marks an era in, I think, particularly within Australian fashion, of the black and the white, and the neon was such a particular time. It certainly reflects that, like, you're very on trend for that time as well.
I guess it goes hand in hand. It's everything returns back in fashion eventually. I mean, for me, I don't hope that neon returns anytime soon. I think after
It's had
looking at
its
those
time.
photos, yeah, it's had its time. But yeah, everything comes back in fashion. I think I'm seeing stuff now in stores that I used to wear when I was 10 or 11. It's insane, but that's fashion. It comes back, it evolves, and it has a new lease of life.
And what was your first hat sale?
My first hat sale was a very simple headband. I wasn't aware of the possibilities of leather and flower making, particularly Rebecca's techniques. So at the time, what it was a little headband, just a simple Alice headband, and I had gone to Spotlight and got pleather and just drawn out a stencil of flowers and just hand beaded it, and that was the first piece. And it's sad, I don't even have a photo of it. I was trying to trawl back through. I took a picture of the bag that I put it in, and yeah, I just don't have a picture of it. But I remember it so vividly. It was just all white. It was beautiful and white. It wasn't for a bride or anything. She just wanted something white. And bless, it was one of my mum's friends too, so very supportive.
So did she get commission it from you, or who you already designed it and made it, and she said that's the one?
No, so she commissioned me to do it. I think, or it, I don't even think it was for anything special either. I think she just said, "Oh, I'd love you to make me a headband," and I was like, "Okay, yep, here we go."
Oh, how fantastic. And from there, when did you launch your label?
So after the first Cairns Cup, which is when I won the first Millinery Award for the red placemat piece, I then went back in 2013. I put in a lot more effort in terms of my headpiece and outfit for 2013. And Cairns Cup is traditionally run in the autumn winter months. Really, in Cairns, you don't get too much of a difference in climate. But the outfit I made, including the headpiece, was I got this, and it was curtain material. I had an obsession with using curtain material. I think
A good
just
weight
the print,
material.
it is a good weight material, but it's also that the prints, I think, were so different to the normal dress apparel fabrics. And I think that's what drew me more to it. So I found a fabric that was covered in a deer print. So it had the full body of a deer, and it was just a white fabric or cream and just black deers randomly scattered throughout, which I just thought, oh, that's super classy. And I still think actually it looks super classy. And the headpiece, what I did was I got a pre-made teardrop cinnamon base, and I put beads all around the base. Not having any clue how I'm going to attach this to my head at the time, I also found some. I should backtrack. I wanted to make myself some antlers to basically imitate the deer,
Love
but
this.
not be a deer. So after I had covered this teardrop base, I had to figure out how do I make antlers? And it just so happened that my mum, who I would have to definitely say I get my creative skills from, she had this tree or this plant, and it's actually called an antler tree. And they were just the right shape, the right length. And so she broke off two antler twigs, and I glued them on, finished off around with a couple more beads, sprayed that bad boy black. And then from there, I had to work out how I was going to put this on my head. So, and not having done any percher courses or knowing the technique of how to make things sit nicely and appear floating, I wanted it to sit basically on my forehead like a percher. So I got a Alice headband, and I stitched that in, glued it in, made sure it was very sturdy, and made it so that it would position and sit on my forehead. And that piece then won the Millinery Award for Cairns Cup in 2013. So now 2 years running, which was just
You're on a
amazing.
roll.
I was on a roll. And then fast forward 2014, I was like, let's back it up, make it three for three. And that's when I
No
did
pressure.
a no pressure, no pressure. We went on a family holiday to Melbourne. I think it was at the end of 2013. And when you go to Victorian markets, I'm hoping that they still make them. But back then they had a store with pop-up cards. So when you open up the card, there's this intricate 3D picture that pops up. So there's things like bikes or swings or kids playing in a park or things like that. And there was one card that was open, which was like a Victoria era sailing ship. And out of every card, that just stood in my mind. So I ended up purchasing it, not knowing what I was going to make for it. But I knew I just had to make something with it. So fast forward, I think 8 or 9 months later, it was getting close again to Cairns Cup race day. I put the pressure on myself to go, oh, let's see if we can do three for
Three for
three.
three.
Three for three. And still in the background, still doing dressmaking and doing a couple of client orders here and there. I purchased a Cinemay base, which I was obsessed with back then, because obviously it's like, oh, you could just build on these and it's just amazing. And got some twill ribbon from Spotlight and wrapped that base in the twill all the way to the top. And then had to do the intricate cutting of getting this ship from the card to then the headpiece base. So that took a couple of hours and, yes, a lot of swearing to not cut any of the threads that basically kept that 3D shape. But we got there, managed to get it on the base, and when I had finished it, I again sprayed it black, my favorite color, and went off to Cairns Cup, and it won again.
Three for
So
three.
three
Three
for
for
three,
three.
three for three. So it really did cement, I think 2014 was the year I was like, yeah,
Yeah.
millinery is what I want to do. This is amazing. Although starting the label back in 2012, I didn't really understand millinery, so I guess the inception was in 2012, but the real passion and love and wanting to do this was 2014.
Fantastic. So it'll be 10 years coming up. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's insane.
And
It's
what
like, where does time go?
it is incredible. But your skills have like I can absolutely understand the you were working with what you had available and the creative design elements were there, but you've gone on to develop your skills so much since then. And
I
particularly the
have to say, I'm
challenge
a
of
bit proud of that. Not just using placemats.
no, you've cut definitely not in the current work, that's for sure.
No, maybe I might have to do a collection with placemats
Maybe you
just
could
as
do
a,
a retrospective.
yes, a retro time capsule of paying homage to the past.
You've got quite a challenge though in that skill development that you've done because it's like you said, there are some amazing milliners up in Cairns, but there's not
Oh,
particularly many
amazing.
formal courses and learning remotely. There are some fantastic platforms, but it would have been in the early days of Patagonia. Is that right?
Yeah, so I think I first joined Hat Academy, but I'm gonna say it was maybe 2015, 2016, that I logged on and purchased my first course. And I can't even tell you what that course was, to be honest. I think because I've purchased so many now, and it's just an amazing library to learn from extraordinary milliners who have done this for years and years, like the likes of Ian Bennett, and again referring back to Amanda McCaw, Rebecca Sher, like just incredible artists in their own right to then share these skills with up and coming milliners or hobby milliners or just anyone who wants to learn a new skill. It's, yeah, their detail, the level of passion you can see when they're teaching the course online is incredible. So I do think I was very fortunate in that time that although we didn't have many lessons here, I still had the ability to network with some fantastic milliners locally here, but also connect online to have access to those courses.
Amazing. And what's been happening since that launch? Do you have a studio space you work from or a shopfront? How do you connect with your
I
clients?
do. So I am also, I just work in my studio from home. And since having my daughter back in 2021, I don't know what I did with my spare time. I think I took my spare time definitely for granted. So my studio move, we bought this house back in 2018, and I was down the far end of the room, and we had that all set up, and then we found out we were having our little girl, and my partner was like, okay, right, we need to make sure this child's room is up to scratch. We live in a two-story Queenslander. So the walls are like malamite and no insulation or anything like that. So we basically shifted from one end of the house to the next bedroom. And he did as much as he could to get it up to scratch, looking beautiful, and then focused on making sure her room was spick and span and no weather getting in or anything like that. So I'm currently upstairs, which is super handy. When it comes to like custom orders and people picking them up, I do have a lot of people that come and pick them up, or if my clients are interstate, they will obviously get posted out. But we're currently talking at the moment, my partner and I, about moving me downstairs. So it is a built-in Queenslander. So now we are just at the process of going, let's make the downstairs airtight, bug tight, waterproof, particularly since we've just had the very unfortunate weather of Cyclone Jasper and then the flooding afterwards, which we were completely lucky with. Just trying to see how that pans out and making sure if we are downstairs, nothing gets ruined.
And having your studio at home, do you have, is it a workspace, a showroom? How do you have it laid out?
It's a bit of a mixture, really. I have it so I have a massive table that my partner made for me for my birthday. He spent months and months creating it, so it is a custom table. And to his horror, there is a lot of paint chip marks, glue marks in it. It was not in that condition when he made it and gifted it to me, but he made me that beautiful table, which is where all my creations take place. And I've also got some background space. I've got some shelving where I've put all my ready-made pieces to be on show for if I've got people wanting to come around to have a look. I generally don't open up my studio for people to come and look at, only because it is, you've got to walk through our house. So I think I'm hoping in the next couple of years to change that when I do move downstairs into the lower part of the house to have a separate entrance to that room so that people can come in, have a look, have a champagne or two, and really open up that conversation, make it a bit more fun. And then, yeah, lots of storage behind me. So it's a very functional space, but I'm a messy creative. So when I create, I sometimes forget that I need to be able to move back to where I started, and sometimes there is oodles of mess behind me. So I do spend a lot of time cleaning up after myself.
The creative explosion finished project. Ah, I've made a mess, clean up.
That's it. And it's sometimes nice to just shut that door and go, that's tomorrow's problem.
Do you create a collection each year, or how do you manage your products?
So I would like to say I create collections. I definitely don't. If I'm being 100% honest, I don't follow trends. I am genuinely someone that will look at something and go, oh, I really like that, but I will take it into a different direction. Or I think looking back at past creations, I feel like I've been ahead of the trend or too far ahead that when it comes back around, it's old news of what I've already done. Does that make sense?
You enjoy, and you also create, sounds like you're creating the pieces that you would enjoy yourself or you would wear yourself.
Yeah, and I've definitely noticed in the last couple of years, and I think being more conscious now of having learnt different skills, I'm still very creative, but I've definitely found that my creativity from when I started, where I didn't know anything, so I was so just, oh, this can go with this, and this can be stitched or glued with this to make it this big. There was no, like, I guess, limit. Whereas now, knowing those skills, I can look back and go, oh my gosh, someone should have taken that hot glue gun away from me because I was a glue gun cowboy. So in those sense, it's now knowing the some traditional methods, but understanding it is also part of modern techniques. So yeah, it's
I understand what you mean by like the skills informing the design and the design informing the skills. It's always an interesting balance, I think, because you can design something, but you can design something that isn't possible, or then you don't, you can make something, but you get limited by your design skills. So I think it's a, I always find this a
yeah.
funny balance.
I think now having, I definitely find I was creative in a different sense back when I had no skills whatsoever because I was just figuring out how to make things work to those ideas. Whereas now I have opened up that door to different techniques and learning different techniques. It does sometimes take me a bit longer to execute an idea in my head. And it's always interesting to talk to people who are not creatives, which is so bizarre for me. I just go, oh, Your life must be, this is going to sound terrible, but your life must be so boring to not have creative urges or dreams at 2 a.m. where you can't go back to sleep till you doodle it down and you figure out how you're going to do it, or at least, yeah, start a bit of a vision board from that one idea. I just go, gosh, your mind must be cobwebs. So far, that doesn't
Not
sound
a place that
bad.
you want to be.
No, I just, yeah, it's not a brain I want to be a part of. And so, yeah, sometimes when I talk to people and they go, oh, like, this is amazing. Like, how did you make this? And I go, this was actually, and it gobsmacks some people, this was an idea from 2 years ago. It's taken me 2 years to figure out how to get it to the point where I'm really satisfied with it too. If I want to make something look like it's floating or effortless or anything like that, sometimes it does take that long in between, obviously, life and kids and. Yep.
Projects too,
It's
yeah.
not just 2 years solidly on that plan, but yes. That's when it goes
No, we'd
to,
have to get
yes,
any
the
hats made if that was the case.
no. No, that's when it goes to the ideas cupboard and it's squirreled away and picked up when there's a bit of free time or oh, now I can figure out how to solve this problem.
You just had some amazing success with the Lily and Frank Millinery Award at Flemington. Congratulations with your
Thank you
runner-up
so much. Thank
place.
you. It was, yeah, it's still so insane.
Could you share with us a little bit about the piece? We'll, of course, share a photo of it. And for those who might have already seen it on your social media, but could you, yeah, tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, definitely. So the piece that I created, it's called Leto, which in Greek mythology means goddess of motherhood. And I thought it was just a really fitting piece to create something that reflected my journey so far for motherhood, after having my daughter back in 2021, which just seems like a lifetime ago now. Like I don't even know who that person was back in 2020, pre-2021. And I wasn't actually going to enter this year. The last time I entered was in 2020, and it didn't get through. Which wasn't, it didn't discourage me, but I think after having my daughter and then having so much success this year from custom orders and really growing it to where I was like, wow, this is where I've imagined it was going to be. I just was like, oh, maybe it's not the time to do a millinery competition. And it was actually at Amateurs this year in Cairns where I was talking to a couple of my clients who had flown in or local clients, and they're like, oh, so what's next? And I was tossing up the, and I said, oh, look, I'm tossing up the idea of doing Melbourne Cup, but it's right smack bang in the middle, obviously, of prime time custom orders. And it was really from talking with Em from It's All About the Sash, where she said, what have you got to lose, really? Like, give it a go, you may as well do it. And I thought, you know what, bugger it, I may as well like do something. And my inspiration was there the whole time, my daughter Charlie. So I wanted to create a piece that was my feelings, thoughts, visions of motherhood and how I felt from that journey of starting motherhood to currently now.
Fantastic. And it's a beautiful lemon color in a circle format with feathers. Am I right there with the material?
Correct, yes, Nagori feathers, yes. So I definitely love a good feather or 250 of them in
Just
headpieces.
maybe approximately.
Just approximately. I do, I, and it's funny looking back when I first started millinery, going back into my placemat days, I thought feathers are so not classy and they're like showgirl and they're not for headwear. And of course, how naive I was now learning that feathers are these beautiful materials and a trim or a feature that you can create, manipulate, dye, cut, so many endless possibilities. So how, yeah, naive I was, and how funny that I've created a whole piece around feathers. So I guess that's paying a bit of homage to my olden millinery days.
And being up in Cairns, for those who might not be familiar, the process of the award in 2023 was to create a piece and submit it digitally with a portfolio and a video. And then your piece got invited to be showcased in Melbourne. What was the, how did you make that happen?
It was there was I had already my customer orders committed, so obviously I needed to make sure working in within those time frames to get my customers out and make sure they had enough time, as well as then working in between motherhood and working part-time and family time. So this piece really came together quite organically and stressless, I have to say. This is probably one of the pieces that was no stress involved. It was just one of those pieces you really dove into, and so much happiness just rolled over me. I think because of the reasoning behind why I was creating it, just kept sinking back in that it's not many people will understand how it reflects motherhood. But to me, when making it and the reasonings of using the crab claw cut of the Ngauri feather is it symbolizes strength and protection. So as a mother, you always want to protect your kids. You always want to be strong for them no matter what. So for me, I was like, it's definitely something that it does come over you as a mother. So that's why I did the crab claw cut. And in a bit more detail, closer to the eye, which a lot of camera lenses don't capture, is there's a netting that basically covers those wires, those circle wires and the feathers. And it's to create, I guess, that security circle that you have in motherhood as well. So it takes a village to raise a child, which I never understood that saying, because I was like, kids can't be that hard. Again, how naive I was, especially not knowing what the toddler stage held for us. But you need that circle around you, whether that's friends or family. I'm very lucky that my partner is hands down the best dad in the world. She Charlie adores Todd, my partner. And just they have their own love language and their own language that they just it's a very rough and tough play, but she just loves it. Whereas I'm like, well, just be careful, little limbs. No, let's not go to that emergency room. And we're very lucky that we've got both sets of our parents very close to us as well. So if we need some alone time to reconnect, or I need to get orders done for customers, or sometimes you want to sit on the couch and watch a movie without being interrupted, we're very lucky that we've got that circle there. But also just friends teaching her different ways and perspectives of life that we don't. Yeah. I'm hoping that made sense.
The symbolism in the piece, both I guess the design choices that you made that bring those elements together, but also the process you would have been imagine quite reflective as you were creating it and the time, the like there's a lot of work that went into that. It would have taken a very long time. It's a lot of time to think and enjoy and
Yeah.
reflect.
And it's not until I really explain the meaning that people go, oh, and particularly mothers go, I can totally relate to that. Like I can actually understand, yeah, the meaning behind it. Like the actual symbolism of the sun is because the sun is life-giving. So any form of motherhood, whether that's IVF, adoption, or you've been able to have a child naturally. It's, yeah. Sorry, my daughter has
Right
literally
on
just
cue. Well done,
broken.
Charlie.
She must have known 2 seconds, I'll be back.
No, you're right.
The millinery piece for the VRC for the Lillian frame just came together so organically and so stressless. My friend Steph of 17 years, who has been a massive supporter, and the first time we went to Melbourne, she had said to me the year prior to 2023, how about we plan for your 30th? Let's make it big and go to Melbourne Cup. And I had said, no, I don't want to turn. I don't want to turn 30. Let's just not celebrate. It's not important. Rah, rah, rah. That's it. So when I had said, hey, I know you're coming back to Cairns for a short family trip. I'm going to enter in the Melbourne Cup Millinery Award. Would you like to model? I would love to have you model. And of course, she said yes, no questions asked, with a side of, I did tell you, let's plan your 30th last year. And a bit of me going, yes, I know, you were right. And it was just a special time to have her model again, given that she does live so far away. So our catch-ups are so few and far and in between, relying so much on technology to keep in contact. So to have her model it, and be there with all of her own business ventures going on, and to model the piece that means so much with so much significant meaning was just incredible. And then to place second was just a dream come true, honestly.
Exciting, and to celebrate that with her as well must have been very special.
Oh, it's so special. It was like I had no, again, keeping my theme of the design came together so organically and no stress. Putting together the application came with no stress, getting pictures and everything like that. And then to get the notification of making top 30, I was thrilled with that. I just thought that's an incredible achievement to get my design to stand up amongst fantastic milliners and artists. I was happy with just making top 30. And then to get to the day and to have the opportunity to make top 10, I was still pinching myself going, really? Like, I did believe in my design, but there were so many beautiful pieces of art that all had their own different meanings and reasonings of how they came about that. Yeah, making top 10 was just mind-blowing, and to then get our number 69 called out was just an incredible, overwhelming emotion. Which, looking back now on videos of Todd, my partner, made a video that he found from Channel 10 of them filming it, the award and the announcements. I think I was just in shock that we didn't hear them say, please step forward. So I think we stood back in line for about 5 seconds until we got told, can you please step forward? Can you please step forward? And I think
You
because
have
we were just
placed.
like, yeah, it was just like, what? This is, yeah, it's I'm clearly still in shock. But to get to stand up next to Cynthia and Jill is just wow. Like two incredible women in their millinery journeys who have cemented in their own rights their creations was just phenomenal.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. It is such a beautiful piece, and it's so exciting to get to hear from you a little bit more about it as well.
Thank you.
And what's next on your project list? What's where to go from here?
In terms of where to from here, it's just more enjoying this journey that I'm currently on. No big plans. Maybe moving studios downstairs, seeing where that creativity goes. But enjoying that the chance to work with returning clients who I'm so thankful for that trust me to do different designs for them each year in and out. And getting to work with new clients who again open up a different level of creativity and push those boundaries. So yeah, watch this space.
Well, it's so exciting. It's been wonderful to get to hear part of your millinery journey. We look forward to the 10-year anniversary and a little retrospective, maybe. But
Thank you, yes.
thank you so much for joining me. And it was wonderful to speak hats.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me and
Thank you for joining me for this podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Nat. It was wonderful to hear her story. A special mention to our wonderful podcast sponsors, for without their support, this series would not be possible. A thank you to Hat Academy, Millinery Australia, Hatters Millinery Supplies, House of the Door, Judith M. Millinery Supply House, Hats by Laco, Be Unique Millinery, Lifted Millinery, Louise McDonald Milliner, The Hat Magazine, and Hatbox Australia. You can find a link to these businesses either through our website, where you can also find some extra images, or through the podcast app. If you're interested in becoming a podcast sponsor and have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, you can head over to Patreon to sign up and show your support of the series, and then hear your business name mentioned as well. I'm your host, Lauren Ritchie, and it's been wonderful to bring you this episode. I look forward to talking hats with you again soon.